In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It's the I Don't Give a Crap edition. No, that's just me. John Senecal, and sitting in, Matt Saroy is usually producing, but he's sitting in today. Listen, I want to talk about the other races, but I have to tell you, I'm probably where I thought we would be, but the way we got here sucks so bad. And the only thing I'm actually kind of looking for, now I can't even say it's a race for the bottom. I think that the last place has been decided. I think that the Red Sox can't catch the Yankees. Now I'm interested in Bobby Dalbec. I'm like, can they
Bobby Dalbec still in the Red Sox?
No, he got called up, and he's been on fire because Casas is done for the season.
Yep.
And like, maybe he becomes tradable. I don't know. I mean, I think they've chosen Casas over Dalbec, but I always thought he had potential, and he tore it up in AAA, and we're like, maybe he's just a 4A player. But the bottom line is, if that's what I'm holding on to, it's pathetic. So my point is, you guys just, you tell me where you want to go, because I'm done.
Pathetic like Mike Stanton pathetic?
Whatever.
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, sorry. Why do I go?
Big Mike.
Mike Stanton, I liked him because no batting gloves, right? Didn't he have no batting gloves?
I think there's not many no batting gloves left. Even Kyle Tucker.
No, I think Mike Stanton, the guy who was a hitter, the Stanton guy. Didn't he play for the Sox too?
Formerly known as Mike Stanton. You mean Giancarlo?
No, wasn't there a Stanton who was a position player for the Yankees and the Red Sox?
There was a Mike Stanton that pitched.
As a pitcher,
there's
yeah.
another Stanton.
Giancarlo.
Who am I thinking about? Who had no batting gloves. It was awesome. It's old school.
Old school
stuff. In the last 20 years. Anyway, I'm ruining the show already.
You're not ruining the show. You're not being that negative. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the season is a mess for both teams. I mean, the Yankees, it comes down to like every injury you could possibly get. But at least the Yankees will be able to hang an award on the mantle, because Cole will probably get the Cy Young in
you
AL.
Think so? You think he'll get it? On our morning show on WTIC, Matt brought it up for like the very first time.
What's that? About him getting the Cy Young?
Are you going to just sit here?
Yeah.
You're not going to talk?
I'm looking for the no batting gloves Mike Stanton that you're talking about.
Stanley.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. He played for the Yankees and the Red Sox. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Old Mike Stanley. He's no Spike Owen, though.
I love Spike Owen.
Spike Owen was good.
You know, I also loved Orlando Cabrera. Loved him.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He bounced around a ton.
He was another guy that came from the Expos, right?
He was good.
He was a guy like Spike Owen. But Spike Owen went from the Red Sox to the Expos, right? Or was it Expos to the Red Sox?
The Expos were gone by the time he was on the Red Sox, I think. Yeah, Pedro came from the Expos. I mean, Duquette came from the Expos.
Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
We never got Randy
Larry
Johnson.
Walker. I went to Montreal. We're talking in general.
Oh, they were great. The 94 team might have won the World Series, remember?
Yeah, I was in Montreal probably in 90 or 91, and Galarraga, Wallach, Walker, Owen.
Was Tim Rock Raines on that team?
He was on the White Sox by then, maybe. And there was, I think, Randy Johnson. I can't remember, but
they developed some serious talent.
The team was nuts, and it was like in the place was Hopman, Oh my God, yeah! It was the first time I had ever saw I love the Wave, Brian. I'm a big fan of the Wave, right?
Yeah, that and
can't wait for it to come back around so I can fake my stand up.
It's the first one up, yelling, "Let's go, guys!"
The good thing is I have long arms and I'm relatively tall, so I can just do this.
First of all, I don't stand up anyway.
Yeah, I don't either. So I'll just raise my arms. So, anyways, getting back to the Wave and Olympic Stadium in Montreal, which is kind of cool when you look at it, and the fact that they actually thought they were gonna pull that roof off with cables and it was gonna work. And it's like, all right, we did it once. We're going to close this thing for the next 30 years. Anyways, so it was the first time I saw the Wave doing a full loop, but opposite directions.
Like two at once?
Wow.
It crossed?
Top and bottom layers of the stadium.
See, Americans can't do that.
No, they can't pull it
off. No, they couldn't pull it off. But it was amazing. You actually had, for one, you had fans in the stadium,
right?
And then they pulled that off. Now, fast forward to my bachelor party. which was in 2000, and I saw Jose Lima, rest in peace, pitch against them. He was pitching for the Astros. We went up there for my bachelor party, and we walked in, and I think maybe we
took a break from the strip clubs to go to a baseball game.
No, that was our first stop, was the baseball game. And I remember we walked, I think we paid like $4 or something as we walked in. Like, they're basically
Canadian or US?
I don't even remember. Yeah, they were literally giving them away, right?
Yeah.
And so we walked in, we walked right up, sat like five rows above the first base dugout, and the waitress, or I guess like usher, came over, and my friend pulled the old Rodney Dangerfield, and he said, was it Rodney Dangerfield? Yeah, and Back to School. He said, bring beers every inning until somebody, he did that line, until somebody passes out, and then bring beers every two innings.
That was actually the Wolf of Wall Street. Wasn't that martinis? That's how they talked about the martinis.
That's how we started my bachelor party. Fast forward from 90 to 2000, in 10 years, the decline of baseball in Montreal.
Oh, I wish they'd go back. I really do. Hey, it's Matt Sorois, John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, fan base, a deep diver in the greatest rivalry in sports. Let's quickly tick through. Any thoughts on the other races? Obviously, there's only two races that matter right now in terms of outside the wild card, the AL East between Baltimore and Tampa, and the NL West between Houston, Texas, and Seattle. Any thoughts?
I'm more interested in the AL West. Seattle's schedule the last week is against, they got like seven against Texas and then three against Houston.
Seattle has the hardest schedule.
Are we all in agreement, though? We want Seattle and Texas and Houston to make it.
Yeah, it's everybody listening. Yeah, it has to be. Unless you're outside of the Houston area.
Unless you're one of the 300,000 fans worldwide of the Houston Astros.
You think that's possible, though? You think there's a scenario that Houston doesn't make it? Because they're ahead of... They're ahead of the Blue Jays, right? So they're in the playoffs either way, right?
Well, they lead the West right now by half a game.
Right, but is there a way that they don't win the West and then miss the playoffs entirely?
They could just keep losing and not get the wild.
No, but I mean, like, if they that close, if they were to fall out of first, because they're only a half game up as of Friday. My point is that if they fell out of first,
nobody's close enough in that race to get the third. Well, spot.
I'm wondering that. That's all. I'm curious about.
The Yankees would have to really step up,
right? So they're going to make the playoffs either way.
It's just
a
matter of where they're going to probably seed in the playoffs,
right?
But they got KC, Seattle, and then Arizona going out, so they don't have a very easy schedule, because actually Kansas City is playing very good baseball right now. But at the same time,
John would know that. Did you know that?
I mean, I know they have 102 losses, but I know they have come on as of late. They've called up a lot of kids,
too. Well, if you look at it, too, like there's across baseball right now, there's a lot of teams that are going to really have to struggle, including the Atlanta Braves, to get 100 wins. I think they're at like 94 right now.
As of Friday.
Yeah, and there's 98. 8 to 9
games. 98. They're 98.
The Braves are 98.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like the next closest team was something 94. I saw
the Orioles, I think, are like it.
Orioles is what it was, yeah, to see if they could get to 100. But yeah, that's not going to be an easy feat because they got a tough schedule, too.
So real quick, I don't know anybody who's said anything about the Minnesota Twins, because half the season the AL Central leader was below 500.
Yeah,
but then they're not good.
No, they're not good. But Cleveland was just, they just collapsed down the stretch. Cleveland just became irrelevant down the stretch. It was almost like when Ramirez duked it out on the field with Anderson. It was like almost like, right around that time, and then after that they kind of just became irrelevant.
That's weird. Why would that? You figured they could fire him up
right
or something?
There.
And then they got like a legit what's his name? Is it Bibby, the pitcher, the rookie pitcher they have? He's got like 13 wins.
That's
or
the thing.
Like
I don't. I couldn't pick a guy out of the lineup. And the same thing with Milwaukee. It seems like the Central's like nobody cares. Like nobody talks about Milwaukee like ever. In the NL, any thoughts on? I mean, all the teams that are in the mix, outside of Miami, I would love to make it.
Well, it's interesting. Like, you got as we speak, almost like a week's worth, seven or eight games left, and Arizona hasn't done anything other than jump in and out of a wild card in the last month.
I thought they were going to collapse. I thought their season was over.
They got a two game lead over the next to last wild card.
It could come down to their last three games against the Astros, though. That they could.
That'd be fun.
They could collapse the whole thing.
I really want Chicago Cubs to make the playoffs. I think that would be fun. I mean, I think it's the world's good when the Red Sox and Yankees are good, but I think it's also good when the Cubs are relevant. And that's basically it. I mean, what else is there to say as Red Sox and Yankees? I mean, who are you guys going to cheer for? Like, if you had a 1A team, who is it?
Oh, I don't want to cheer for the Astros. We all know that.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm kind of with you, Brian, and we talked about on our morning show, too, that we're kind of on the Baltimore Orioles bandwagon a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, they got a young team. I mean, they haven't really been dominant since Cal Ripken was on the team, really.
And they didn't dominate a whole lot.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I would love to see them make a run, at least make it to the championship series. I think that would be cool to
see. How about you, John? Who's yours?
The feel good story is Baltimore, and I'd love to see them win 100 games. That'd be great. I mean, it'd be great for the game. It'd be great for the game of baseball. But you know, the awesome thing about the whole mix is, I mean, we didn't say anything about Cincinnati. Still, they're only a half game out of the wild.
I know,
card.
And they played like crap lately too.
And San Francisco has not played good. And believe it or not, the freaking Padres are playing really good baseball, and I think they're only 4 or 5 out still.
Yeah, as of Friday, the 4th. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, and no one's talking about them. They're playing some really good baseball, and they're healthy too. That's the other thing. And a lot of teams, I mean, are really banged up right now. I like Baltimore. Definitely not Houston. I mean, I think I root for Seattle because I like J-Rod. I like the vibe on that team. I like the fact that they hopefully could overtake Houston still and win the West and maybe even still put a little distance there, just so it's like not like holding your breath to the last day. But I love, for baseball, it'd be insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great baseball city too. Like that, they have nothing else.
Yeah, and they got so jacked up last year and they got into the playoffs, and you know, the vibe is right there. But
okay, that's,
you know,
good. That's good.
When you say I'm pulling for, I think overall people are going to not root for Atlanta because they just been the flavor all year, and they've just been kind of like,
Atlanta's,
you know,
like vanilla. It's like America for, like, it's so true. Like, maybe it's the holdover from the 90s when like they won every year, but then they lost the World Series every year. And I thought that as good as Glavin, Maddox and Smoltz were, they were so boring and so robotic. And this team is not, but I definitely don't like, I don't get all jacked up to watch. I mean, they're great. I mean, the home runs, the run differential, everything is amazing. But I don't know. I just don't really care about them.
Tampa bores me, too. Tampa bores me.
Every year, Tampa's boring.
Nobody wants them.
But the problem is with that, it's like, you know, that they're that team that is just crafty enough that could just, you know, give everyone, advertisers, networks, fans, just make them insane because they could push to the World Series.
There's a lot of teams I'd like to see in the World Series, and they're not one of them.
No,
I'd love to see the Phillies in the World Series. Yeah. I would,
even though they were there last year, I think that
I love to see the Phillies. Sorry, Matt. I mean, I just Harper, the whole crew. I
like Bryce Harper. But
how about the balls on Nick Cassianos the other day?
Oh, that was beautiful.
You've seen him naked?
No, but I mean, honestly, any other the right place to drop that ball down the right field line.
No, that stuff. I mean,
he hasn't made an error all season.
Is that
true? Hasn't made an error all year. The only player that has overall.
You just made that up.
No, I haven't made that up. He's one of to qualify for outfield play or whatever, or just in general, he's the only outfielder in Major League Baseball has made an error.
I saw that, and even the announcers were like, no, don't catch that. And he spun around and fired at home.
Dark.
And
he said a voice in his head told him to do it. And he said, usually it only talks to him when he's
hitting. Now I'm nervous.
He usually only talks to him when he's hitting.
That's really
He said
funny.
That's the first time it's talked to him.
He's bat crap crazy. that's what you need to be fearless and to play that way. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Matt Saroyce joining us here on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Listen, let's just wrap it up with this. Matt, you've done a first pitch. We did it at the AA Hartford Yard Goats last year. I did it a couple times last year. Have you ever done it?
No, I've never done it.
Okay, we got to get that done next.
Yes.
We'll talk to Restall. We'll get that done next year because we're pretty close with the Colorado AA affiliate in Hartford. And what I would say is that I played baseball through Babe Ruth. I was a good hitter. And I was a lefty, and I never trusted my arm. Like, even that throw in warmups from first to third, I crapped my pants. I just had I could throw hard, but I had no control. So the first pitch, I did it 3 times a year ago. One in the dirt, one I blooped in like a Mary, and the other one was good. And so basically I was 1 for 3, and generally speaking, it was terrible. Even you bounced it.
I bounced it right in front of the plate, yeah.
Right, so it was straight.
Is this from the mound, or is it from like a...
No, it's in front of the mound.
Like just off the dirt.
Yeah, they don't... Most places don't let you...
I can't remember, because I was at one when you did it last year.
Most places don't let you stand on the mound.
It was funny.
Well, that's a big thing, though, because a lot of these celebrities in the major league parks, they get cocky, and they want to get up on the mound, and that's when things go awry.
That was the funny part, I remember, because the handler woman at the Hartford Yard Goats the whole morning show was there getting ready to throw out a pitch, and so were like little kids and everything like that. And then there was like the woman from the TV show The Office was there, and she wasn't there like standing next to us, and they were like, they said it 15 times. Don't go up on the mound.
Yeah.
Don't go up on the mound right in front of. We're like, all right, yeah, no problem. So we all pitch, and here she comes, lady from The Office, basically does like a somersault on the mound.
Right.
And it's like, here we go, dancing up on the mound, kicking up the dirt and everything. And we're like, oh, God, this is bad.
And then she threw it like 50 cents.
Yeah.
The reason why we
50 feet to the right, to the left.
the reason why we bring it up is. Now, there was – I didn't see Stephen A. Smith. Was it really bad?
It was like at least like 10 feet in front of the plate, I think, right?
Yeah, it bounced – I think it bounced once.
But did he throw like he's never thrown?
He threw from the rubber. He went up to the
But did he throw like he's never thrown before? Like, did he clearly never play baseball?
Yeah, I mean, he had some form, but I mean, yeah. I mean, he didn't look great.
And then so he
it's like when a basketball player gets up there and tries to throw. Like,
yeah, that's exactly how it
looks. So awkward, right? But some of them because they're athletic can do it, but other ones it's like their hands so damn big for one. It's like they can't even grip a baseball. So who knows what they're doing? So it's like those guys, you almost got to let them move up and kind of just hand it.
Let's put it this way, okay? A guy with no arms throughout the first pitch the night before at Yankee Stadium, and he threw a better first pitch than Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, so that puts that in perspective. And then we had that mom of a Dodgers player.
Yeah, she hasn't seen him in 7 years.
Yeah, tell the story, Matt. What is the story?
She's in Venezuela, and she hasn't seen her son pitch live ever, like since he joined Major League Baseball. And she actually was able to come up, watch him pitch, and then the next night, I believe, she threw out the first pitch.
To him.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful, obviously a beautiful moment because, I mean, not, imagine not seeing your mom for 7 years.
Yeah, they had video.
Years.
They put up video of him meeting her at the airport, and it was like, you know, the hug that they had alone.
Oh,
it was
unbelievable.
Like, yeah,
well,
it was
I can't imagine. Why is it possible that he couldn't fly her up with his salary? I don't get it.
Ryan, have you ever watched any sort of Major League Baseball near spring training? Everybody's got visa issues. It's like, it goes on and on and on. Well, it doesn't matter who you are. Unless you're going to pitch in the major league, you've got visa issues. Here.
Yeah, well, or you could just top the border like half of Venezuela has. But I would say that her pitch was unbelievable. It had movement on it, too. It was a strike, but it looked like it was like a slider.
She probably taught him how to pitch.
That is just the coolest.
Well, it's, you know, like a lot of those like countries, you know, these players that are playing in the major leagues, you start to read up on them, and they're not the household names. But then you find out, oh, their father was a pro player there for like, you know, like 15 years in the leagues around town and stuff. And then you go down there, it's like that's passion, like absolute passion for people.
So Brusdar Graterol is the guy's name,
former Twin, I believe.
And and the embrace they had after the pitch was something else. I mean, it's just come on. She's, by the way, I'm 52, and her son's in the majors. She's probably not even 40. I mean, she looked really young. I mean, it just makes me feel super old. But it was a cool moment, and hopefully she'll stay. Jeez, hope she stays. Any other thoughts before we say goodbye?
I'm looking forward to 2024. I know last one I was on with John, and I was just like, the Yankees still got a shot. You know,
but
we
you
were
said that until
it.
Like
no,
yesterday.
It's amazing how fast your perspective switches.
Yeah, it's literally game by game. It was literally game by game, especially with the schedule with them playing Toronto. We're like, all we have to do is just sweep Toronto.
Lose the first two.
Just beat them
like,
six in a row, and we're there. And it's just never going to happen.
So you're saying there's still a chance.
Yeah that's what he would say. He literally said that like seven times.
But I am looking forward to 2024. Michael King has been unbelievable, and they've done it right. Like I've said, that they threw him out there for 40 pitches, then 50 pitches. The other night he pitched 100 pitches.
He was a guy who was a reliever last year, got hurt, right?
Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery and a bounce back. I mean, they must tighten that elbow up something serious because the slider is fantastic.
Yeah, the other thing I think about him, which would make him more – I mean, he was a great back end of the bullpen guy, obviously, for the Yankees. But I think what will make him effective as a starter is – you know, it's almost like Ottavino was. It's like you know that slider's coming, so it's like sometimes you can almost wait on it in a short game situation and do damage against him. And I think we saw that a little bit with him a year ago before his injury, and maybe that had something to do with it. But at the same time, you stretch that out, and you know you can maybe make up for it over the course of seven innings. You know, hopefully next year the Yankees score more than 2.5-3 runs a game. So
we'll see.
They got a lot of work to do. Matt, thanks for sitting in.
Thank you,
John. It's good to see you as always. You've been listening to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.